if we look at some of the things that Brother Pete brought out this morning in Matthew chapter 11, the issue is repentance. And he's telling these people that had seen the mighty works of God and didn't repent. And he gave the remedy for their lack of repentance and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." That's one remedy. And he was upbraiding them and telling them, why can't you see it? And I don't understand all these things. But the Lord said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." And he did that because it pleased the Father to do so, and it seemed good in his sight. And it don't matter where they are, whether they're in Sodom, Gomorrah, Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Lexington, Milan, Jackson, St. Louis, or wherever. Don't matter. But if you labor and are heavy laden, you can come to Jesus and find rest. That's a remedy to being to work. That's a labor to be to having a burden. It is to come to the Lord. And he'll give you rest. He'll give you rest. I didn't really have a mind to talk about this particularly, but the Lord gave some remedies to the churches at Asia. The church at Laodicea, particularly, was a lukewarm church. He says, "I would that you were either cold or hot." He said, "But you're neither." He said, "Therefore, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." And he gave them the remedy and said, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Do y'all know how much repentance is spoken of in the Scriptures? It's unbelievable when you really look at the Lord's teachings and the epistles of the apostles to the churches, and how much the Lord talked about it, not only in the four accounts of the gospel, but in Revelation. That was the remedy to the churches, almost all of them. He told them to repent. And I find that those churches didn't repent because they're not still going on. Now, he said that the church at Laodicea, he said, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So I think about the church at Laodicea, or the principle of that, and the principle is the remedy is zeal. First, can you imagine somebody repenting without being zealous first? You've got to have zeal first. I mean, the Lord put zeal first. Now, what is zeal? It's an ardent fervor. It's almost like a hot flame. It's a hot flame. To be zealous is to use a modern term, be on fire for the Lord. That's what zealous means. It means that you wake up and everything that you think about is that way. Be zealous, therefore, and when after the zeal comes, then the Lord will grant repentance, I believe. Now, that wasn't necessarily what I want to talk about, but that's a remedy. And I also wanted to, it kind of falls a little bit in line with what I want to talk about in Matthew 25. this is a couple things. I don't really want to talk about the foolish virgins and the wise virgins or the ten virgins. I don't really want to talk about that. But the Lord, this is in the middle of the Lord talking about His coming back. And then in, I want to start verse 13. He said, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And I'm going to read this account first. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, these all three of these men, or whoever, was his servants. "And unto one servant he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now, I found it very curious about what a talent is. You know, a lot of, I grew up when I was little, you know, Talon's age and maybe some other, I thought that a talent in the scripture, when I hear the preachers talk, was about our gifts to sing, or our gift to do a job, you know, or some kind of thing like that, or to play football good, or to draw good, or to paint good. And that, I think that is true. I know that is true, and it's applicable to that, but in this instance, the Lord, I mean, that is included in the principle, but in this instance, a talent is money. And do you know how much a talent is? In Israel, a talent of gold was 200 pounds. One talent was 200 pounds of gold. If it was silver, it was 100 pounds. Now, a talent, because a talent was a weight. Okay, that's what a talent is. It's really a weight. And he gave this one servant 5 talents. If it was gold, that's 1,000 pounds. 1,000 pounds of gold that the master gave one of his servants. And he gave one of them 400 pounds if it was gold. And he gave one of them 200 pounds. Okay? And he did this according to their several ability. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability." Now I looked that up. That several ability just meant that he gave it according to their, according to what they were good at. Their ability. Apparently the one that got 5 had more than one gift. And the one that got 1 had one gift. Or one ability. "Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. So both of them doubled their money, didn't they? The one that had 5 gained 5 more and he got 10. The one that the master gave 2, 2. He increased it, used what he had, increased it, and he doubled his money. Doubled his Lord's money. It wasn't his money, it doubled the Lord's money. His master's money. But it said he that had received 1 talent went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." He hid it. He took a shovel, went out to a secret place. I'm sure it was a secret place. I mean, why would you hide something somewhere and let everybody know about it, right? My mama used to hide our... I wish she was here today because she'd get a chuckle out of this. My mama used to hide Christmas presents from us. Because we were snoopers. And I remember one time I was playing hide and seek, and it was in July. We were playing sometime in the summertime. And we were playing hide and seek, and I looked behind a picture that was leaning up on a desk, and there was a Christmas present back there. And I got it out, and I opened it. And it was a watch. And it should have been given to me the year before, but my mama hid it so good from herself, she couldn't find it. She did that all the time. I'm telling you, when we moved her house out after the tornado and we started moving everything out, we found all kinds of stuff in there that she had lost and didn't know where it was because she hid it. Now, this servant took 100 pounds of gold and dug a hole in the ground in a secret place and hid that money in the ground. He knew where it was. He knew where it was, and he only. Nobody else knew where it was. And we'll find out later why he dug it in the ground. And it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came back. And it says there was a reckoning. You know what a reckoning is, don't you? That's a tallying up of the books. That means you're going to hold... check out the account. And the people to whom he put in trust his money with, the Lord was going to hold them accountable. That's what a reckoning is. Being held accountable. Listen to how they responded to the master when he came back. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. That's 2. He had 1,000 pounds of gold, and he turned it into 2,000 pounds of gold. I think that's right. Did I do the math right? 200 pounds times 5. 200 times 5. That's 1,000, right? 1,000 times 2, doubled to 2,000. Yeah. So the one that... He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. So he had 400 pounds of gold, considerably less than the 5-talent man. And he doubled his. And you know what? The money that he doubled was less then the master gave the first one. See, he gave him 1,000 pounds, right? Second man, after he doubled his, he still gave him 800 pounds. Y'all follow me? I mean, it's kind of math, and it's tough for me to keep it all straight. But the second one that he gave 2 to doubled his, which is 4. And 4 is less than the initial 5 that he gave that one. Y'all get that? I think the point is that it doesn't really matter what gift or what talent the Lord gave you or me. The amount
does not matter. It's how you use the gift that pleases the Lord. It's how you employ the gifts that He supplied us that matters to Him. Let's look and see about the one that was a hider. The one that hid the money, that buried it. See how he dealt with him. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done. Well done. You see, it's not the amount that matters to the Lord. It's not the amount that matters. He said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Had the same accolades for the 5-talent man that he did the 2-talent man. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. The outcome is the same. Y'all got it? The outcome is the same. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Same thing. Make him a ruler over many things. Both of them, 5 and 2. Going to make you a ruler over many things? That's one thing that that was afforded to them because of their service to the Master. The other one was, enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Of the Lord. That's the second benefit to working with the Master's gifts that He gave us. Entering into the joy of the Lord. Now let's look at the one that He gave one, the digger, the hider. Then, and I think it's not ironic. I think it's kind of how the kingdom works. Well, I know it's how the kingdom works because God said it was. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who travels into a far country. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's not talking about heaven. He's not talking about working down here so that you can reap in heaven greater mansions and crowns and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about right here. And the blessings that we receive in this life. And I find it consistent throughout the Bible that whenever masters are dealing with their servants, they deal with them all at the same time. They don't take one and bless one outside earshot or eyeshot of the others. They do it in front of them. You remember how the Lord, when He sent His servants out into the vineyard, and that, again, that was a kingdom parable. He said the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that hath a vineyard, and he goes into the marketplace daily looking for people to work in the kingdom. And He says, and he got some early in the morning, and they worked all day long. Then that one, and he agreed with them for a penny a day, a penny. And then he went out at the 11th hour, I think it was the 11th hour, and he got man, and he says, what's that, whatever's right, I'll give to you. And he brings him in. And you know how it goes. The kingdom of God operates like this now. That at the end, the ones that worked all day long in the heat of the day and all that kind of stuff, and then they saw this one that just worked an hour. And that one that worked an hour came in first. And the Lord gave that man a penny. He only worked an hour and He gave him a penny. Okay. Then all the ones that worked all day long thought they ought to get more. And the Lord gave them a penny. But they got mad about it. The Lord said, didn't I contract with you, agree with you for a penny a day? They didn't like it. But the what I want to get out of that is the Lord deals with people together and in the face of all the other ones, these servants. So it's a consistent thing with God, at least in His parables and in His teachings. And not only in the parables, the Lord dealt with people in multitudes. He didn't pull them aside much, did He? He just dealt with them in multitudes. Well, and He talked to the scribes. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you know, all that kind of stuff. He did that out in the open. Now, it says, this one that was the hider, the digger. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Apparently, he was telling the Lord, it's in the ground still. I thought at first that he brought it to him, but he didn't. He didn't even bring it to him. He said, Lord, it's down there, it's still buried, but I'll tell you where it's at. I've never seen that before until just now. He says, there thou hast that is thine. It's still in the ground. Still in the ground. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. That's interest. Even if you don't actively trade with it, like these other two, even if you're not risky like they were. Now, I mean, because he's dealing with money here. And y'all know, I'm more of a risk taker with my money. I mean, I'm kind of half and half. I didn't really realize that until I started to invest stuff back a long time ago, you know, with whatever. And the financial guy came and told me, he said, Paul, you up? What's your attitude towards it? And I said, well, I am risky, but I don't want to risk it all. I want some part of it anyway to be low yield, low risk, instead of high yield or high risk, high yield. This man wasn't low risk, no yield. I mean, low risk, low yield. This man was no risk, no yield. That's where this man was. No risk and no yield. And what was the determination of the master? Wicked and slothful. That's tough stuff. And his excuse was, you're a hard man. You mean what you say about your money. You're an austere man. You take care of business, so to speak. You mean what you say. And I was afraid. And he says, at the very least, you could have put it in the bank instead of hiding it. Let somebody else use it. Low risk, low yield. Would have been better than no risk, no yield. Take therefore the talent
from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That doesn't seem fair, does it? Don't seem fair. Flash back to how the kingdom operates in the field and the marketplace. First one came out, he got a penny, only worked an hour. Then them that worked 12 hours, they got a penny too. They got mad about it. They said, Lord, how in the world is it fair that we've worked all day long, and this man that only worked an hour received the same thing that we did? How's that fair? Lord said, did you not agree with me for a penny? And the Lord's answer to them was, is it not within my power to do what I will with my own? See, it's the Lord's money. It's the Lord's gift. It's the Lord's talent. It's how God operates. It's how His kingdom operates. And just like those that use the talents are blessed in His kingdom, those that don't use the talents are punished. That's the only word there is to say it. They're punished. Because God's serious about His talents. He says, take therefore the talent from him. Now that's hard. And give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And that hath not there, I think, is use not. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he goes right into talking about the Son of Man coming in His glory and separating the sheep and the goats. That's not talking about sheep and goats. Them talents, that's not talking about a sheep uses it and goats don't. No, all these were servants of God's. What he's talking about is the urgency and the expectation of the master to use the gifts that he's provided with every one of his servants while they wait for his return. Because he's talking about returning right after that. The whole thing's about the Lord coming back. Or not the whole thing, but a lot of that is. My prayer is that we would seek the Lord. My prayer is that we would use, even if it's one little talent, use it. Even if you want to just put it in the bank to gain interest, is pleasing to the Lord rather than digging a hole and hiding it in the ground so you won't use it and nobody else can either. And if you have many talents, use them all. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should you have a desire to work in God's kingdom at this place, may the Lord bless you, is my prayer.